everyone. Welcome to my wake of destruction known as this podcast. And these are my wolf brothers.
Your wake of destruction. It reminds me of Symphony of Destruction, so I will be your Dave Mustaine Sedai.
Ooh, that is awesome. I got nothing to say after that other than Hangar 18. That's another great song.
All right. Okay. This episode, we are going to talk about, we're jumping ahead now because we're going to get through book three before season two starts. So we're jumping up to The Dragon Reborn, chapter 33, Within the Weave. And this is going to give you give us all a good indication of the wake of, not even just destruction, just the Rand's wake of his thread in the pattern and what's going on.
The symphony of destruction.
There we go. Exactly. This is Rand's symphony. It's just... Sometimes destruction, sometimes, well, so yeah, we're gonna jump in. This isn't gonna be too long of a clip. We'll probably touch on a few things that happen. We're gonna listen to the Rand part, but we will talk about all of chapter 33 because there's some minorly interesting things going on towards the end of this chapter. But I'll just fill you in verbally with that. All right, boys.
Yeah, I got it. Where should I start, Des?
She was looking at me.
Chapter 33, 3 minutes in.
All right, here we go.
There had been more reasons than bad dreams not to sleep well.
It's okay.
They had found other signs left by Rand's passage. Between Jara and the River Burn, there had been none Perrin could see, but when they crossed the Burn, they had left behind a town called Sidon, all in ashes, every building. Only a few stone walls and chimneys still stood among the ruins. Bedraggled townspeople said a lantern dropped in a barn had started it, and then the fire seemed to run wild, and everything went wrong. Half the buckets that could be found had holes in them. Every last burning wall had fallen outward instead of in, setting houses to either side alight. Flaming timbers from the inn had somehow tumbled as far as the main well in the square, so no one could draw more water from it to fight the fires, and houses had fallen right on top of three other wells. Even the wind had seemed to shift, fanning the flames in every direction. But there had been no need to ask Moraine if Rand's presence had caused it. Her face, like cold iron, was answer enough. The pattern shaped itself around Rand, and chance ran wild. They had ridden through four small towns where only Lan's tracking told them Rand was still ahead. Rand was afoot now, and had been for some time. They had found his horse, back beyond Jara, dead, looking as if it had been mauled by wolves or dogs run wild. Luckily, Lan had found the tracks of Rand's boots, running from where the dead horse lay. One boot heel had a three-cornered gouge from a rock. It made his prints plain. But afoot or mounted, he seemed to be staying ahead of them. In the four villages after Sidon, the biggest excitement anyone could remember was seeing Loyal ride in and discovering that he was an Ogier, for real and for true. They were so caught up with that they barely even noticed Perrin's eye. And when they did... Well, if Ogier were real, then men could very well have any color eyes at all. But after those came a little place named Willar, and it was celebrating. The spring on the village common was flowing again. Willar would not die after all. Three more untouched villages had been followed in quick succession, all in one day, by Samaha, where every well in town had gone dry just the night before, and people were muttering about the Dark One. Then Tallinn, where all the old arguments the village had ever known, had bubbled to the surface like overflowing cesspits a morning earlier. And it had taken three murders to shock everyone back to his senses. And finally, Fiol, where the crops this spring looked to be the poorest anyone could remember. But the mayor, digging a new privy behind his house, had found rotted leather sacks full of gold, so no one would go hungry. Perrin had finally asked her about it as they sat around their campfire one night. After Jara, I thought, they were all so happy with their weddings. Even the white cloaks were only made to look like fools. Fiol was all right. Rand couldn't have had anything to do with their crops. They were failing before he ever came. And that gold was surely good with their need. That town burning and the wells failing, and that is evil, Moraine. I can't believe Rand is evil. The pattern may be shaping itself around him, but how can the pattern be that evil? It makes no sense. And things have to make sense. If you make a tool with no sense to it, it's wasted metal. The pattern wouldn't make waste. Moraine was silent for a time, warming her hands. Finally, she spoke while staring into the flames. The creator is good, Perrin. The father of lies is evil. The pattern of age, the age lace itself, is neither. The pattern is what is. The wheel of time weaves all lives into the pattern, all actions. A pattern that is all one color is no pattern. For the pattern of an age, good and ill, are the warp and the woof. Even riding through late afternoon sunshine 3 days later, Perrin felt the chill he had had on first hearing her say those words. He wanted to believe the pattern was good. He wanted to believe that when men did evil things, they were going against the pattern, distorting it. To him, the pattern was a fine and intricate creation made by a master smith. Then it mixed pot metal and worse in with good steel. With never a care was a cold thought. I care, he muttered softly. Light, I do care. Moraine glanced back at him and he fell silent. He was not sure what the Aes Sedai cared about beyond Rand. A few minutes later, Lan appeared from ahead and swung his black war horse in beside Moraine's mare. Remen lies just over the next hill, he said. They have had an eventful day or two, it seems. Loyal's ears twitched once. They topped the hill and Remen lay spread out below them, hard against the river. The Matherin Drell stretched more than half a mile wide here, and there was no bridge.
I think that's good. Because I don't think they get into what...
That's enough. It's just, there's just little things.
Because they run into, so after that, they see an Aiel in a cage.
A very important Aiel in a cage.
Which, is this the one that...
We just did the ep...
That Perrin sets free?
Yes, we just did the ep...
Did we jump to 34?
We went to the Fael thing, which is 34, I believe, when they're leaving town, or maybe 35. Okay. It might be 35.
Yeah.
And then we just jump back. So, I mean, release them however, but yes, this is a very important Aiel, first of all. And I'm it's really looking like he's probably not going to be in it. If he is, he'll be in a lesser capacity. I hope to fuck that I'm wrong, because we do get Bane and Shi'ad, and he is a part of their arc too, so I'm hoping that I get a feeling the Aiel in the cage is going to be Avienda.
That's what I was just going to say. Would they either combine this Aiel with another one or have a different Aiel in this cage?
I kind of feel like it's going to be Avienda. You see, there is that one still with Perrin next to her, and maybe Falm. I'm not sure where they actually are, but she does come in contact with the Wonder Girls before they get to Tyr. Maybe Avienda meets them that way, and I really hope. I don't see how we could get that scene, but that would be a cool scene to get, where they meet up with them and Nynaeve heals them, and then he'll come back and kind of save them a little bit. That would be pretty cool, but it's just one of those things. It's one more action that you kind of, how are you going to work that in?
Yeah, and we can show Perrin's dislike of cages some other way or with some other character.
Right. Well, you might even get, the scene in Jara with the other wolf brother in the cage. That could be done in a cold open or something like real quick. And so
Origin. No.
Yeah, origins are a little more vague than specific to the story, but yeah.
But they could do it could come up a little bit, because they'll probably do a wolf brother origin.
There's a good chance of that. They maybe even do a backstory for Elias.
They better, because that you don't get a lot of wolf brother origins. Even the Aes Sedai don't know a lot about it. So,
I mean, there's some listeners out there that think he's got yellow eyes because a wolf licked his leg.
Is that, are you some listeners? Shut up, bro.
I only pay attention to what the show tells me. I don't take in any of this other information from these books.
Bit by a wolf, eyes turn yellow. Licked by a wolf, eyes go back. I don't know.
So-called experts. Okay, buddy.
My favorite books are TV. So does this continue through all of the books with Rand? Or is the fact that it's destruction, it's either destruction or gold in your backyard, is that because of him not settling into who he is? Is that because he's pushing and pulling, or that's just the pattern, just the wake of destruction behind Rand?
No, what happens is with a Ta'veren, they bend chance. So things that would never only happen once in a thousand times happen a lot when he's around.
Okay.
Which is part of Matt's luck, by the way. His luck is multifaceted, wouldn't you say? It's not just that he's Ta'veren. It's that he's Ta'veren. And then he had the dagger. And then he got healed. And then,
he's got a lot of things.
And then he left the show and was recast.
Yes. It looks totally different now.
We said we weren't going to talk about that anymore.
Can I get Barney's origin story?
Yeah. I'd like to know where his contemporary story is.
Yeah, I'd like to know what the fuck he's doing right now.
But yes, if you ask Desmond if it continues,
yeah.
Yeah, in fact, there. So I finished book 11 now. So I'm into book 12 and I'm going to start reading it, actually reading it, not just listening to it. But there's times when Rand is like traveling, kind of hiding like where he's going, and he's traveling and hiding his identity. But he, every time he stays in like a city, he's like, I can't stay here very long because people who know to look for the signs will start to see them and be like, wait a second.
Oh.
And they start even going into like, oh, he's walking along and this kid, he's got like a box or a basket full of like loaves of bread, and he trips and they fly all up in the air and then land like in a teepee. Like they all land perfectly. and he's just sitting there staring at it like, what the heck? And this guy got drunk.
So he makes a lot of money doing the bottle flip trick.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Definitely. Side hustle.
He tells the story of like there's a guy who's like on the second story, was getting drunk, and he leans back and falls out of the second story window, but does a flip and lands right on his feet.
And he's just like, perfectly what? Fine.
It's what I do.
Well, and they talk about, but also bad shit happens too, because
exactly
like the fire, and it's like every building collapsed outward instead of inward and caught the next building onto it on fire. The wind seemed to shift when they'd think that they'd get it contained, and then the wind would shift. The buckets had holes in them. The wells went dry. It's like
cats and dogs living together. Mass hysteria.
It's chaos. But you know, it's not always good. I think it's you're starting to see the fraying of the pattern, basically. It's,
yeah,
you know, it's the start, you know, you're starting to really see the fight for balance, and it's not always, it's, you know, it's good, it's bad, it's ugly, it's everything. And as you go along, there's more and more of it, and they get more and more catastrophic, and they become worse and worse. It is kind of like you said, Desmond, the longer it goes, the longer he goes on, it's like the more and more bad shit that starts to happen. It's like at first, it's like bad shit, good shit, bad shit, good shit, bad shit, good shit, bad shit, bad, 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 bad. And less and less good. You start to just get bubbles of evil, and you don't really get the random good things anymore until Rand comes to a point where he, you know, the veins of gold moment that we talked about. You haven't got there, Des. But Rand is to a point where he's like, I have to be hard. I have to, you know, otherwise I let the world down. And he realizes that he's become so hard that he's, you know, it's like you fight the monster so long you become the monster type of thing.
Yeah.
And he realizes it. And
he's like Tupac hard.
He's so hard. So hard, bro. No,
what
he's
would
like,
Rand's tattoo boy? What kind
he's
of
like
life?
50 Cent hard, bro.
It'd be that Taveran life. Straight out of the Two Rivers.
Yeah, I was going to say straight out of Evans Field. Straight out of Two Rivers. Straight out of Beneath the Rin.
Get Dragon or Die Trying.
Fuck the White Cloaks.
He's already got the sweet tats on his forearms, and he branded his hands. I mean, come on.
I mean, if that's not gangster, I mean, come on. What's hood, more hood than that?
Nobody's
shit
as hard as me. Come on.
My old roommate branded a fucking dragon on his whole back. So, I mean,
that's right.
What's up, G?
He branded a whole dragon, you said?
He branded a whole dragon on his back.
Like, how did he get a dragon to get hot and put it on his back? Where did it come from?
Like they tattoo like a hot knife. Well, not a hot knife.
Oh.
It wasn't like one big tattoo. It wasn't like one big tattoo. It was.
So they burned it.
But they did do it in like one sitting. They did do it in like one sitting, dude. It was gnarly.
Who's they? Was it like somebody who's an actual artist or somebody who's like, I can draw a dragon?
I have no idea. Could it be a friend from prison? He's one of the most interesting men. He doesn't always drink Modelo, but when he drinks beer, it's Modelo, because that dude is one of the most interesting people that I've ever met.
What's our tattoo going to be when we get our tattoos?
Oh, I know. Mine's going to be nothing.
Time to roll the dice.
Oh, you're going to get something.
I'm not getting a tattoo.
You're getting.
No, you are too. You fucking are too. If you know what? Okay, let's make a bet. We got to make a bet. If we.
There's no bet. I'm getting a tattoo.
Come on, never. You can get something small on your ass cheek.
Oh, yeah, that sounds great.
We could put it on your ankle. That'd be cute.
Inner thigh then.
Trap oh, that stick. Sounds like, okay.
Right behind the ear? I'll say, what if we got like a million listens, you still wouldn't get a tiny tattoo?
If we got...
Of just like a little wheel?
No.
A Wheel of Time tattoo. It's one of the most important things in your life. Just a little Wheel of Time that says, like, the wheel weaves as the wheel wheels.
Literally not even slopes. Even not even like the top 100 things of my important things in my life.
It's not about important. It's about a achievement.
Okay. If we get to 100 million listeners, I will do it then. That's the only way.
Well, and at that point, too, this podcast will buy your tattoo.
There you go. Okay, deal.
Like we will be just a 7-spoke wheel. It doesn't have to say anything.
Right here on your thumb, a 7-spoke wheel.
Never. No, I'm not putting a 7-spoke wheel. No tattoos.
All right, listeners, we're going to bully him into this.
Listeners, get it. We're starting a special. I'm getting a 7-spoke wheel. I'm going to do that fucking tomorrow.
Look, I was thinking about that. That's a great idea. That's the problem is I think that if I put one like on my stomach or my bicep, eventually it might start off as like only an inch. But then by the time I get to be in my 60s, it might be 7 inches because I'm so fat.
Oh, come on. I'm not asking. No one's asking you to put Thug Life across your belly or anything, man. It's just a little 7-spoke wheel, bro, with Rand's face.
It's just right across your forehead. It just says I'm not the dragon. I mean, it's cool. It's cool.
Yeah. The other thing was this. They're like, where's Matt with his quarterstaff? You see he points out that you can see a shoulder pad of some armor that looks kind of gold and kind of points like this, which is not how the Shanchan armor is, but it is the same kind of color scheme. What if he's standing in front of Archer Hawkwing and like getting ready to talk to him because he just blew the horn and it's Archer because it's a similar color scheme, which would make sense because Shanchan, Archer Hawkwing are obviously connected and that would be kind of cool. But he was also saying, you know, what if it's, you know, they think it could be Turak. He was saying that Turak and could fight Rand, Matt, and Perrin kind of at the same time. And then what if Ishii kills them before they can even get it? And then Rand and, or what if Perrin and Matt fight Turak while Rand is fighting Ishii?
What I really like though is Matt is actually in Falm. Remember we talked about like, what if he never gets there?
He looks like he's in Falm. It looks like he's in Falm to me, so.
What if he doesn't blow the horn? We were like speculating. That's looks like it's probably not going to happen. Thank God. Yes, exactly.
Thank God. I'm glad to see that you do seem genuinely excited because I feel like you were pretty bummed after the first season.
That first season was, it just hurt me. It really hurt me. I've said this probably a million times, but I read the books for Game of Thrones, and that first season is the first book. All the stuff that I wanted to see, it was there. And even like the ending of the first episode,
the first like three seasons were like pretty straight across.
They're pretty much dead on. And I don't,
you depressingly so.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. And you can't do the exact same thing with these books. There's just too many of them and you don't have enough money. Nobody has enough money. That's totally fine. But I think that you should be keeping the spirit of the show and you cut stuff. You don't add stuff. Right. You can combine things. You can cut things like that's superfluous. We don't need it. That's not going to get us to where we need to go. But adding stuff to me, then you're taking away from the vision of the author. And the author had the perfect vision in the first place.
When you say adding stuff, are you talking about something that's like the Warder funeral that's completely superfluous? Or are you talking about like Winter Night, something that we know happened, but we didn't see?
I think that they could. Yes, for both. Because
really, because I really liked Winter Night. I really loved that you got to see what went down there.
What was the biggest battle that happened in the first season of Game of Thrones? There's nothing.
Oh, man, it's been so long. Nothing, I guess.
I'll answer for you. There was no battles. There was none.
No, that's not true. It was probably when Ned Stark and Jaime fight in King's Landing. But I mean, that's not a battle. It's a fight. It's a fight. It's not a battle.
It starts off. Jaime kills his buddy. Or no, actually. They start to fight, then the other guys just stab him to death and it's over.
Yeah.
Right? Like there's no fight.
Well, they don't kill him. They just wound him, but yeah.
Well, he kills his buddy. He kills Ned's best buddy.
Right. Yeah. Jory.
Right. His guy. So you need character development. You need to get to know these people. And
you got to care about people a little bit before you kill them off.
Exactly.
100%.
And there's not as much killing off of people in Wheel of Time as there was in Game of Thrones, but you still need to get to know your characters. And I just felt like we didn't get that. And the Winter Night thing was cool. I totally agree. It's a cool little set piece, but I would have given that up to know more about Rand, Matt, and Perrin and their relationships, and then more about Nynaeve and Egwene's relationships. The whole thing with Swan getting her backstory, I'm like, you don't need this at all. And you know, you and I both know, like that just didn't need to be there.
And that's the thing. It's like, I think that they did that, you know, thinking that they would have the time that they really got fucked in the later episodes because of COVID. So I don't mind adding stuff, but not at the expense of cutting stuff that is good. So I hope that they've, like I said, everything that I'm so hyped for season two, I hope it's not a big, you know, hot air balloon, because everything that I'm seeing about it is making me so fucking hyped for it. I'm not seeing anything where I'm like, well, what's that? Like nothing. I'm like, oh my God. And granted, I'm a little more plugged in than like me and Dez. When did you come up here? And like, we decided to do it. And then like, I think it was like a month later, the show came out.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we decided to do it and it was just kind of like boom. And so I was like, the show's coming out, but I didn't, you know, I didn't try to deep dive into spoilers or really get much background on it at all. I mean, other than maybe starting to look up.
Yeah, you didn't have time.
I started looking up some of the characters and I was like, oh, the casting is great. You know, and I was sort of planning to do this shit. Desmond's like, we're going right into episodes, bro. Like, we'll do that later. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, we had to do, well, yeah, that's right. Because I was still
four episodes right off the bat.
Yeah, I was still in Seattle, I think. And so I had to wait till I got back here. And then we did the first four episodes or the first three.
We ordered two episodes while we were in the, while I was in the hotel. Lisa was just out of the, like, we had to go back to the hospital the next day.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing you saying, Jeremy, is more people getting pushed into the river.
Yeah, exactly. I love that.
Things like that just make me happy. A couple of things. So Rand's, they make it seem like Rand kind of like rode his horse to death and then like scavengers got at it. His horse was ran down by dark hounds. They are another creature kind of like Trollocs or Drakkar or
Shadowspawn. Yeah.
They're Shadowspawn. And
but how did Rand, but Rand would have, if he got chased down by them, Rand would have killed him. Then they wouldn't have got the horse.
Yeah, he got away. He either kept running or fought them off somehow. Because they wouldn't have stopped.
Do we actually hear that? Is that actually, or is that just?
No, it's just implied. And first, because, well, the main reason is dark hounds wouldn't stop to eat. They killed it. They kept biting it to kill it. And so who knows how we got away.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You know, that would be something that I would be okay adding to see, like, holy shit, how'd he get away? You know, balefire. Because like there's their packs. And I think he would balefire them one at a time. He'd balefire one. They'd take off, regroup, come back after him, you know?
Well, but then they would have mentioned there would have been leavings of balefire. And Perrin probably would have mentioned that, like strips of burnt.
Perrin wouldn't know. Moraine might.
But if there were strips of burnt forest around, like, that'd be worth noting.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true. You know, you see Perrin, he's already avoiding the wolf dreams. He's like, I don't want to sleep. You know, he hasn't quite accepted who he is. And the unraveling the pattern thing I was talking about with Hopper maybe being combined with Elias, I think that could be actually really cool.
Yeah, I agree. That would be,
You know, because it would be something that you could bring both characters, and it makes it, it's like one of those things that the combination makes you inherently more invested in both characters. So I think that's really rad.
And it's more screen time for a character like Elias, you know, so he can't disappear for like three seasons and then come back and go, who's this guy again?
Right. And you could keep Hopper around for the wolf dream, and you could, you know, voice him with Elias, so you know.
Yeah.
As opposed to just like, I'm the wolf, you know, whatever. You could have some sort of reference.
I'm Poochie.
Wow, I'm a wolf. Wow.
Oh, God. Jesus. And you just, you know, they just kind of run through all the stuff that, you know, good and bad with Rand. You know, the wells refill. There was, I guess, is that some oil, Jeremy, that came up out of the ground? I didn't really understand that. They talked about something bubbling out of the ground, and then it took a murder to make. I didn't understand that 100%, but
I just took that as like bad water or something.
Yeah, just crazy shit.
Yeah.
And you know, they're coming into the Remen, which is where Fael is. It's where Gaul is. You know, so you got to think that some kind of version of this will, you know, there'll be some stuff from this chapter I would think that we'd probably see on screen, because there's too much, maybe it's not called Remen, but you know, there's too much important shit that kind of goes down in this area for it to not have some aspects of it somewhere.
And with all, we're gonna have to see some walking.
I know.
And so if we're gonna have to see some walking, we might as well tell the story while we're doing it. And so digging into this will be a good thing.
No, you want some walking.
No.
So the dragon is weaving the pattern.
I'm terrible. This is the worst.
Matt, you look different.
what that'd be the next like pull. What Forsaken could Asmodian play? Or I mean Christopher Walken play.
Christopher Walken is Gawain.
Christopher Walken is as what's this fucker from Saldea? Davern Bashir. Rand, Lord Dragon, what are you doing?
These Trollocs are gross.
Wow. I was like, wow, this is good.
Wow, I can't get out of here. There's like no escape. Wow.
They're killing people. Wow.
Thank the light. Uh-oh.
Okay, Justin. Well, so I say, Justin, watch that video while he does this that I sent you.
Thank the light for listening to our podcast. Please rate us. Please like us. Please tell a friend about our podcast. Please review the show. It helps us tremendously. It gives you guys more. It creates a larger community for you. What could be better than that? Check us out on Twitter. We are Wolf Brothers at Parseilman. That is Wolf Brothers at Parseilman. Send us questions and comments to thankthelight@gmail.com. Looking for another great podcast to listen to while you wait for the next episode of Thank the Light? Head on over to whatsoundsawesome.com and check out our great podcast lineup. We have comedy, spirituality.
Wow.
Comedy and spirituality. Time travel.
I got it.
Time travel.
I knew he'd love it.
I hate you, Bull.
Fitness and nutrition and awesome women in the form of All the Answers, Truth Not Trends, Time Pop, Be Brave, and That Fitness Couple. You can find them at What Sounds Awesome or wherever you find free podcasts. And remember, everybody, the pattern would not make waste.
Never use pot metal when you're combining things. Don't pot metal and steel.
The way of the leaf works as long as we're talking about ganja, kids.
And you know what? Here's another thing I was going to tell you. I was always a Luke Wilson fan. He's the much better Wilson by far.
Wow.
Yeah. Shots fired. I said it.
Wow.
Yeah, I came out and said it.
Got a real bottle rocket fan here. Wow.
My water is yours, Wetlander.
I have a tattoo of Orion also, but it's the cat from Men in Black.
Thank you for that reference, because I never would have gotten that without the Men in Black.
So dumb.
Damn it.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Oh, that's right. The podcast is over.